Restless feet!
Oh god, my nose is running. What's running faster, my nose or my feet?
Or my heart.
Can you hear it?
Passes out.
Oh, it's recording.
Okay. So I would say, say what, who you are.
Okay.
And then just like name where you go to school, something that you like. And then say what your favorite kind of book genre is.
Oh, okay.
Just so we keep it to the book.
Okay, okay.
Let that man go.
What's the man? What's the man?
Ponko.
Ponko? Who's Ponko?
They call me Iago. Not...
What's that thing? The bagel? Asiago.
Should we figure out a sick beat to do?
Yep. We should really figure out what we want for the intro music.
Yeah. Should I sing the theme song? Oh my god.
Of?
I'm gonna sing our theme song.
Okay.
Hello. It's me.
It's us. Oh.
Wait, it's pretty good. Hi, I'm Yasmina.
Hello, my name is Colm.
And I'm Yasmina.
And this is Open Thought. Open Thought is a podcast that embodies the willingness to actively consider new concepts and perspectives through literature, discourse, debate, and humor. How do you feel about that, by the
Pretty
way?
Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you change it?
No, I like that.
Okay, good. Because I thought about this at like 1 a.m.
I really like that. I didn't know we were doing podcast summaries. I got this whole thing wrong.
I did tell you to prepare for what does open thought mean to you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I forgot that part.
Okay.
I talked about what I mean to me.
Okay, so introduce yourself then.
Okay.
For our 35 listeners now.
That's pretty good.
Because I listened to it like 20 times at least.
Ah, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm Yasmina. I go to the University of Florida. I'm 5'3" and brown everything. I really think that should be a catchphrase. In terms of books that I like, I really like realistic romantic fiction because I'm biased towards a happy ending. I like to live through characters, and if I can't get a happy ending, then they better fucking get a happy ending. Is that good?
Oh, that's it?
That's it. That's
oh, sorry.
What else am I supposed to say?
I don't know. That was up to you.
And I'm here because a lot of my happiness and comfort comes from conversations with this guy over here. This guy right here. And as we're entering a new phase of our life and getting ready to, I guess, leave one another, I'd like to capture those moments of joy forever.
Oh, God. That's kind of sad.
I know.
Should we just stop?
No.
Okay.
Well, if we stop, then we won't capture those moments of joy forever.
Okay, my turn. My name is Cohen Flores. I'm also a undergrad at the University of Florida. Yasmina and I are both studying biomedical engineering. In terms of who I am, I'd like to see myself as an avid learner. So whether that's through podcasts or reading books, I really like to digest a lot of information. Aside from that, I like eating.
Like a lot.
Like a lot. Like a lot, a lot. And then I like doing handstands. I'm a big proponent of 8 hours of sleep.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, and it's my lifelong mission to take down TikTok.
See, that's a problem because my lifelong mission is to find a job where I can only view TikToks all day.
My problem with TikTok, side note, is that 50% are dances.
Yes.
Where it only includes your upper half.
Yeah.
So that's like half of dancing.
Yes.
Okay, that was it.
Well, fine. 50% is the upper half. But until you can do with your hands what Charli D'Amelio does with hers, I don't want to see you talking. No.
That's
no.
Not it? That's mm-hmm. The only two I know.
It's decent. I think you could get better. And if you did get better, you would be viral on TikTok and people would enjoy watching your videos.
Was that it? Oh, favorite genres. I also like contemporary fiction and nonfiction more recently in like the science politics realm.
Poli-sci.
Poli-sci. I just meant science. Science nonfiction as one category, and then political
nonfiction
as another thing. Or like society / politics related.
Okay.
Okay, I had a couple of easy questions for you.
Okay.
Purely out of my curiosity, but what are your top three favorite movies, and I guess why?
Okay. Number one is probably Fish Tank, which is not a movie that's like super well known. The why is because it has Michael Fassbender in it. I'm really sorry.
Oh, I knew that one of these would have either Michael Fassbender or Timothy... Chamomile.
Marmalade. Well, okay. It is Michael Fassbender in it, but also it is a really great film. It's about this British girl that, like, wants to dance. She's, like, in a really, really bad neighborhood, and her mother acts like a 16-year-old, but happens to be a 34-year-old mom, and treats her terribly, and she just really wants to learn how to dance and get out of the area that she's in. Chaos and struggle ensues, but Michael Fassbender plays the boyfriend that develops an interest in the girl, and lots of just bad things happen. But I enjoy the movie because it's good and a lot of the visuals are amazing. There's like this one shot of birds flying and like over the sky, and it's just really beautiful and super powerful. It's like showing that she gets her freedom. So that's one.
Is that a new movie?
No.
Oh, is that old?
I think it's like circa 2009.
So did it win any awards?
No. Okay. It's like super, just a little, you know, low-key. like indie movies. Number two.
Is this in order? Is this like your number
three? No, I don't want to do them in order because I feel like top three is a better question to ask me than my first favorite movie. And I don't really want to rank the three because they're all ones I enjoy in different ways. I'm trying to think for number two of a movie that I like always watch. That if I'm like upset, I'll watch it. Probably Atonement. Probably Atonement.
I don't know what that one is either.
I tried to make you watch it, and you fell asleep within the first 30 minutes, and...
Atonement?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, let me think about
that. It is Keira Knightley and James McAvoy in it. It's like a...
No, you made me watch...
Inglourious Basterds, you never did.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one either.
No, you never watched that movie.
But on the bright side, I didn't fall asleep.
No, you just didn't try at all.
I went on Netflix, and it was like 2.5 hours. I was like, 2.5 hours... Full night of sleep.
I know the choice that you made. I wish that you watched it because it's a Tarantino film. But regardless, Atonement, great film. Keira Knightley's amazing. It doesn't have a happy ending, which is odd that I would enjoy it so much. Not to spoil the ending, but it's a lot more realistic than you see out of a lot of period pieces and dramas. Acting is great. Visuals are awesome. Just like has this really cool beat throughout the film. Like it's like a heartbeat throughout the film, and it's a ticking, and it speeds up when things get really intense and slows down as things get happy and normal. And Saoirse Ronan makes her like debut in that. You know who Saoirse Ronan is, right?
No, I don't.
That's unfortunate. Saoirse Ronan is the girl in Little Women, which you might not have seen. You saw Lady Bird.
I did not.
Okay, so
that has Timothy
Chalamet in it. She's the main character in that. She's like a Hollywood sweetheart right now.
Okay.
But that's where she makes her debut. She's like 12 and a nightmare. Like a genuine, evil nightmare. She ruins everyone's life in that film. It's really funny. That's number two. Three would probably be... Oh my god, I did not mean to pick two Michael Fassbender movies. But Steve Jobs, really good. Really good. Like,
yeah.
The dialogue is so cool. It's so fast paced. The same guy that did West Wing, Aaron Sorkin, wrote the script for Steve Jobs, and it is so fast paced. It took the actor so long to learn the dialogue for that, but it comes off like seamlessly, and they do the characters so well. And it's like, I feel like a lot of Steve Jobs films either take like one side where they're like, he was a terrible human being and he sucked, or they take the like glamorized, like, I started from his basement and like in the garage and made the product. But this kind of shows a multifaceted person where he was just a guy that's kind of selfish and didn't want to own up to the fact that he had a daughter. So that's number three. It also just makes me happy. It's kind of a messed up film, but watching it, it's nice to escape into this dialogue that does not let you think about anything else but that movie for 2 hours.
Yeah, you made me watch that one.
And yeah.
It was really impressive how the entire 2 hours was about dialogue that happened before an opening event or something like that, right?
Yep.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm intrigued about his relationship with his ex-wife and his daughter.
Yep.
And it's about Steve Jobs, but it's never really about Apple or anything like that. Yeah, that's a good movie. Aaron Sorkin is an amazing writer.
Yeah.
I just watched The Trial of the Chicago 7. was also written by him. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't watched it yet. That's next on my list of movies. Unfortunately, the last film I saw was Spaceballs.
Is that like a dog movie? Like Space Bud? No, it's not?
No, unfortunately, there was not a golden retriever as the main character of this movie. It was a bunch of really stupid guys. So it's a Star Wars parody, basically. And I've seen Airplanes. Spaceballs is dumber. Like, Airplanes is supposed to be, like, a dumb, funny film. Spaceballs is really dumb and, like, only occasionally funny. Highlight jokes that I will say that actually made me giggle. One, this is so stupid. They pushed the button that was, like, self-destruct.
Yeah, classic.
And someone was like, that self-destruct button isn't irreversible or is irreversible. And the guy next to him goes, man, even my raincoat isn't reversible. That's number one. I laughed. I'm going to admit you. I laughed. Number two, just the overall running theme is that the guy that plays Darth Vader has a really big helmet, and so he runs into things a lot, and he's really short. Number three.
I don't know why I laughed. That's so dumb.
Number three is that when they get into their stance with their lightsabers, they do it from their testicular area, and they hold it.
And it's like in front of them?
It's like space balls.
Oh.
So when they, like, shoot someone, they shoot them in the balls with their eye beams. It was really just something that I could never see again and be okay with.
Okay, what movie would you recommend to me?
Ooh. I'm like, Inglourious Bastards.
It doesn't have to be. Except that one. It takes a lot for me to watch a movie.
Yeah, I think you need a movie that's, like, really engrossing and, like, constantly keeping you busy, which is why I suggested Inglourious Bastards, so I'm a little annoyed that you didn't try it at all, but we don't have to fight about it. I can pick a different film. You also really liked Interstellar.
I did.
And I would say for your next film, maybe try something, like, cerebral, like try Donnie Darko. I think Donnie Darko is a really cool one. Because it is cerebral and you constantly have to be trying to understand what's happening in the film. And I feel like if you're challenged, like, brain-wise, if you have to use big brain on a movie, you'll use big brain on a movie.
Okay.
So try that one. If it's bad, I'll give you another one. I have a list of movies that I think are really good.
Okay.
And also an unfortunately terrible film review, so...
Films and feelings? No.
Frequent film feelings.
Where's the frequent come from?
Because I frequently have film feelings.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's a 3Fs, baby. Is it my turn to ask you a question?
Do you want to switch?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to eat my mango first.
Magno Asiago.
Magno. They call me Magno.
They call me... Oh, are you doing that song? They call me Jen.
No, that's not that song.
They call me... Nah.
That's not my name.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
This question gets asked a lot of, like, what makes you get out of bed in the morning, but I'm not going to assume that you want to get out of bed in the morning. So what makes you seriously consider possibly getting out of bed in the morning?
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay. What makes me seriously consider getting out of bed in the morning? I mentioned it earlier, but... I love to be challenged in some way, and I think you know that about me. So in general, I like to learn new things, and the realm between knowing absolutely nothing about things and feeling like a master, that in between is where I like to stay. A good example of that is, I was watching Take Down the House on Netflix about AOC and just flipping the house, adding younger senators. And that got me really interested about, like, some of the stuff that she's been doing. Like, she's a big proponent for the Green New Deal. Then I read something by Naomi Klein called On Fire, like, A Burning Case for the Green New Deal. So what gets me up in the morning is just following my curiosity and allowing it to take me to the next topic or the next idea. Yeah, that was kind of a lame answer.
I really like that answer.
I'm kind of upset that we have to do this. We have to go to class. Because it takes away from the experience of allowing my curiosity to drive for the day. With this podcast, like, I really want to just edit something or prep for it, but instead you have to do some, like, imaging homework. And so, like, that's something where I don't want to get out of bed to do that. But it's interesting to have to actually sit down and formulate my thoughts on like what I did for The Other Americans, even though I didn't really like the book. Even though I didn't like The Other Americans, like it's nice to sit down and allow myself to act on the whims of curiosity. So that's what gets me up in the morning.
Do you feel like without the restraints of school, or rather, do you feel like when you're on breaks that you follow your curiosity, or do you think you're too burned out?
Yeah, I think I definitely do get burned out. It's weird because I have a bad habit of overscheduling. Like in terms of classes, it's easy to add another course. For some reason, I think that the only way I'll learn a thing is to force myself to learn that thing. So when it comes to break, yeah, I'm often like burned out. And it's a little bit different because like when you're on break, you're with your family. So
yeah,
it takes a lot of mental effort to learn things. It's a weird scenario where I want alone time, not break time, just to do the things that are interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So alone time gets you out of bed in the morning?
Alone time.
Coffee time.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Ever since quarantine, I started drinking coffee. Really love drinking coffee in the morning. It's definitely worth the caffeine addiction.
Oh, honey, let me introduce you to something else.
The idea of morning routines, like morning routines are this big thing in the productivity realm where everybody's like, oh, I wake up at 5 a.m. and I run 65 miles. But I like morning routines and I really just want to manage my own time.
You want to have control over like 30 minutes of your
time. Yeah, but I do realize that without class that I won't be as productive because it's the lack of time that makes me want to have my time.
Yeah.
So there's always that.
It's a hard balance.
Yeah.
But it's a good answer. It sounds like what gets you out of bed is the possibility that you may be able to follow your curiosity that day.
Yeah. When it comes to reading, something that I'm trying to practice now is that if I'm not enjoying it, then just stop. Because why would you, like, this is supposed to be an activity that you enjoy. Like, why do we keep books as some sacred things that you have to go cover to cover?
When we watch a TV show and it's not good, we just stop watching it.
Yeah.
And we're not ashamed of the fact that, like, I watched a season of The Office, I didn't like it sort of thing.
Yeah.
Full discretion, I love The Office. But, like, people say that all the time, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny. But when you say, like, ah, I started Huckleberry Finn, but I didn't like it, they're like, oh, you just are lazy and don't want to read. So if you stop it, it didn't bring you joy. And as Marie Kondo says, who brings you joy?
Is that what she says?
Yes.
I have to think about who Marie Kondo is. Oh, she's the clothing lady?
The lady that, like, organizes.
Yeah, doesn't she like make you put your hand in your sweater and like close your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay, I want your answer to that question too.
What gets me out of bed in the morning? What makes me kind of consider getting out of bed in the morning and maybe going to Dunkin' to get a cup of coffee is probably people. That's lame, but people. Like, seeing other human beings is so important to me. And on days where I know that I won't be able to see my best friends or my boyfriend or even professors or peers or students, those are the days where it is hardest for me to wake up to an alarm clock. If I know that I'm set up for a day where I have to sit from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and do work, I can't. Like, I think that that's why virtual, all of this has made it really hard for a lot of people, not just me, but for someone who, like, bases their entire source of happiness is other people. It is really hard to get up in the morning without it. But yeah, being able to make someone smile, as cheesy as it is, like, that makes me so happy. Being able to just spend quality time with someone, even if it is just doing homework with each other, makes me so happy. And so if I can't get that, I still wake up. Can't really help that one. I wake up and I get it done, but it's not fun. And I have a roommate and she's great, but still I don't get to form new connections anymore. And that's the other thing. I would say people and also forming new connections, because there is nothing that compares to the excitement that you have on the first day of school when you pick out an outfit and you are so ready to meet everyone there. I like thought I'd outgrow it. And my freshman year of college, I was like, I cannot wait to meet people in my classes. You learn that in a 100-person class, like, you don't really meet anyone. But the possibility of forming a new connection with someone is so exciting to me. For the sake of safety, just purely safety, I can't. I can't form new connections with people. Making my network any bigger would be really, really irresponsible, and that sucks, but...
There's something about online life that just doesn't feel real.
No.
Like, I can't imagine a world where, as advanced these video, like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, as advanced that they can get, I don't see how that can ever replace real life connection. Because I can just turn off my computer and disappear. And if you struggle to get into social situations, once you're there, you're there. But I have way too much freedom to turn off my computer and just say, today I'm not going to interact.
Just mute your mic.
Yeah, just mute your mic. Have your video off. I would say that for this semester, probably had my camera off 95% of the time. It's easier. It's easier. I don't know. It's kind of upsetting because that is supposed to replace those interactions, those like bump-ins into people. But now we have the ability to like hide.
Yeah. I don't have to interact with my professors if I don't want to. I can avoid their gaze when I don't know an answer to a question because they're not looking at me. It's a cover photo of me. Like, I no longer even feel the responsibility anymore to do as much as I usually do. And I feel like I have to rely on just my drive to want to do good and to want to be the best that I can be. But it's no longer that social pressure of, I really have to outperform because I want my professors to like me. I want them to form a connection with me. I enjoy that. I like no longer have that motivation. And so now it's just, I want to do well for me and I want to do well because I'm in college and I'm paying for it and I like to learn, but it has nothing to do anymore with, I don't know, like sometimes I want to answer a question because it impresses everyone around me. That no longer happens. They don't know who I am in a 50-person class. If I answer a question, cool, great. Someone's on their phone. I can promise you 75% of the people in a class are on their phones not paying attention. And it's sad. And it's not like where I wanted to take the topic to, but definitely makes it harder to get out of bed in the morning than normal.
Yeah. My next question, maybe we should skip over this
one. No, do it.
Okay, no. This was maybe we should lighten the mood a little bit. this one's also an easy one, so I'm going to ask two.
Okay.
Quick answer. What are you currently listening to?
Music-wise?
Yeah. Or motivational.
Like Cody Ko. The last song I listened to, let me pull it up on my Spotify. Oh, this is either going to be really embarrassing or...
The follow-up question is, can you sing it?
Oh, yes. Okay. My last song that I was listening to was All I Ask by Adele. Am I supposed to...
Wait, did she come out with a new album or is that
no,
old?
No, it's old.
Oh. Play it.
Oh, okay. You don't want to hear me sing it.
Oh, no. Sing along with it.
Should I do an interpretive dance? They can't see that. I don't need right at the door. I won't say a word.
This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com/openthought for 10% off of your first purchase.
I'm scared of having nothing left hooked up. Thank you.
Pretty good.
Actually, this backstory of the song. I'm like,
like
no
Adele's
one likes
backstory?
Me. No.
Oh, your backstory.
My backstory.
Okay.
The song single-handedly got me through every breakdown in high school over like school. And
oh,
I'm
really?
Not sure why, but every time I listen to the song, I cry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is because it's really sad, and also Adele makes you feel emotions that you're not prepared to feel a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Typically sad emotions. But I remember, like, being a sophomore in high school and having 40 things that I had to do that night, and I paused everything so I could watch Adele sing it at, like, the Grammys, and just tears falling down my face silently. And I felt so much better afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
And is that still one of your songs now?
It's like, my comfort song.
Is it a comfort song?
Yeah. Like, I'll listen to it if I'm a little stressed or a little frustrated. And I think we do this thing in life and just in general, and it might be our generation, I don't know. But I feel like we're not comfortable admitting to the fact that we have emotions, admitting to the fact that we're anxious or sad or stressed. And so I'll find myself bottling everything and not letting myself feel anything. There is something genuinely cathartic about just letting yourself feel the emotions that have just been bottled up inside of you. And so I think the song just, like, reminds me that I have space to cry and it's okay to cry. And so I cry and then I'm fine. And then I do my makeup and I'm a bad bitch and I move on with my day. So that's a song I'm listening to.
That's a nice backstory.
Thanks.
Do you have your go-to playlist?
Oh, yeah.
For certain things?
Breakdown playlist is Broadway bops.
Okay.
It is...
Like, is this during breakdown, after breakdown?
This is like, you have 2 hours of crunch time to finish a report, and you haven't looked at the instructions. It is so comforting to me. It, like, it keeps me hyped, and I love Broadway. I've always loved Broadway. I like that there is lyric-heavy songs in Broadway. Like, it tells a whole story from start to end, which is so cool. And I think Broadway starts and ends with an entire... at least part of an overarching story. And I really love that. So I like just playing it as loud as I can and belting as loud as I can to the songs. And that's my go-to playlist. I was talking to my boyfriend about this actually, but I was explaining that I have this one song by Joey Perp, Elastic.
Joey Perp.
It's like, though she like, it's Elastic. It's a fine, whatever. Okay. But it's like been my, it's been my pocket song for, like, I am cool and I listen to like indie stuff, but it's like fun and upbeat. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. TikTok has ruined so many songs for me. Yeah. That song was like, it's a 4-year-old song probably. Like, mm-hmm. It's been around for 4 years. No one's ever heard it. Charli D'Amelio last week is like throwing her butt back to Elastic. There goes my song. I can't play that anymore in the car because then they think I'm a 14-year-old in a 21-year-old's body.
This is the reason why I want to take down TikTok. Part of the reason why.
Okay. Here's my counter argument to taking down TikTok.
Okay.
It is informative. If you are on the right For You page, it is informative. It is what has inspired me to like cook things. It makes it easier and more accessible for like kids to learn recipes because they literally show you in 60 seconds. I made that amazing punch that I brought to Friendsgiving. Okay.
Fair.
It's taught me like, it's inspired me to like work out and like be fit and do things like that. Like I had my whole 1 month stint where I was working out and trying to be healthy. And it was because my entire For You page was like people eating right. And still, I eat right because what's on my page and what I see is other people eating right and giving me new ideas for fun vegan things that I can do. So it is informative if you're not just on there to like watch girls dance. And they tailor your For You page to what you like to watch. So in some ways, echo chamber. In some ways, they tailor it so you only see what you enjoy. But for me, at the very least, it's made information much more accessible and easy to digest than other forms. The counter argument is that it is ruining the attention span of literally everyone.
Yeah, agreed. Social media was supposed to be a platform for you to interact with each other.
Yeah.
But TikTok is not an interacting platform. It is literally for a consumer and a consumer only. And it's just so strange how you can't even scroll like down. Like you are forced to look at every single thing to go into the next video or whatever. You are forced to at least spend the half a second to look at material. That is so strange to me. Like, imagine going to a library and somebody telling you what you have to read.
Yeah. Yeah. This is funny. I saw a TikTok about our attention span being ruined on TikTok. But it was a 60-second TikTok. And he was like, okay, this is to test to see if you, like, have a good attention span. And he was like, you're at 15 seconds right now. Things are getting really uncomfortable for you. You really want to swipe down. You really want to move past this page. Please don't move past this page. I'm just going to keep talking. Like, it was 60 seconds of nightmare. I was so uncomfortable. My body was shaking. I can't focus on something for 60 seconds? No, because I can see Charli D'Amelio dance for 15, and I'm like, all right, next one.
And watch it, like, 4 times to make sure you get the moves.
Yep. Yep. I don't even have the motivation to do TikTok dances. I don't. I'm never good at them. I don't look like her. That's not going to work for me. I can give counters and arguments for why or why not TikTok. I think it just depends on how you use it. And you can say that for pretty much any social media. It depends on how you use it. I definitely have been victim of like buying things because TikTok told me to, but They've all been things I use, like are generally useful for me. I'm also not the person that buys things because I'm told, because I like to buy things anyway. So if I buy something, it's because it seems interesting to me and really doesn't have to be on TikTok. No one has to tell me to buy something. I'll just be in Target and look around and I'll buy stuff.
TikTok doesn't tell me to waste my money. I was going to waste my money anyways.
Exactly. That's my argument. But what TikTok does do is help me waste money on things that actually might be useful to me. So far it's been good, but I can see why TikTok sucks. It's ruining all of my music taste. I also can't listen to a top 40 anymore. Mm. Any top 40 playlist, just TikTok songs.
Really?
It's just like every single one, the first 10, I swear to God, are TikTok songs. We are literally raising artists to make songs so that we can listen to 15-second snippets. I was saying it the other day, but I was like, we are going to get so used to only knowing 15 seconds from a song.
Coding got me tripping.
That's 15 seconds. That's all I know from that song. Off the juice, coding got me tripping. I don't know the rest of the song. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, a really weird time that we're in for pop culture.
Yeah.
I feel like such an old head saying, like, we have to go back, but I think we have to take a couple of steps back.
I think that the ease of accessibility of information is fine. I think the information that is accessible is not the information that we should be having.
Yeah.
Like, not in the sense that we should have things be withheld from us, but it's really easy to find out, like, what this star wore to the awards. But when I want to do any kind of academic research, I don't get any information. That's the problem. I have to really dig for the things that are actually meaningful, but the things that are not are very just thrown up in front of my face.
Yeah, and a counter argument to learning new things, you may or may not be receiving true information.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a whole bunch of like workout videos and people are like, this is how you get 12-pack abs. And it's like three ab exercises. If you're 14 years old and you see these three ab exercises, that would drive me nuts. Like, I'll be insecure as hell because I'm doing these three ab exercises every night and I'm still not getting abs.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, I agree. There's the whole drink this juice cleanse if you want to lose 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And if I'm a 16-year-old girl that really wants to fit into her prom dress and I drink that every day for 2 weeks and I'm still a size whatever, that would suck.
Yeah.
That would suck. And the other part of that is, and this was like that one movie, that documentary that you made me watch.
The Social Dilemma.
Yeah. There's a part where they were talking about how teenage girls are impacted by all of this and like the number of suicides and the body dysmorphia and the anxiety that comes as a result of it. And that I can definitely see. Like, there are times where TikTok isn't the only one victim of it, but there are times where I'm feeling really, really great about myself. And I'll open my phone and it's not like the stereotypical like, oh, I wish I didn't look like her. It's just kind of, you have a standard for what you set for yourself based on what you see in yourself. But now it's not just based on what I am. My standard now has to get higher based on what someone else looks like. And so if I work so hard to like look the best that I can possibly look, that's still not good enough. It's like never good enough.
Yeah.
And that sucks. I just want to spend a day feeling really great about the outfit that I'm wearing and the way that I look in the outfit and the way my hair is, but the minute I'm on social media, I suddenly feel terrible. And then there's the whole thing about, like, you feel great and therefore have to take a picture and post it for other people to see. And everyone's only posting their greatest moments for you to see. So, yeah, that girl with 3,000 followers, I'm sure looks really great in those pictures. Those are her literal hand-picked best moments. She is living for a picture. I think at some point you learn to no longer live for a picture. I know that I don't think the same way at 21 that I did when I was 15. I no longer am like, ugh, God, I wish I could look like that. But I still feel that little twinge, and I don't think that goes away. I don't think it will go away with social media continuing to be the way it is.
Yeah, agreed. It's definitely dangerous. It's labeled as social media, but the social aspects of it are entirely gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are essentially worshiping people.
Yeah.
Really strange. Social media was supposed to be a platform where we share ideas, and I think there are platforms that are good for that. I really love Reddit because it's just a blog, but a really big blog. But when we're all customers,
Instagram shopping now?
Yeah, Instagram shopping. And also all of these social media platforms copying each other. This is so strange. I was watching some video, some conversation between Hank Green and Andrew Yang. And Hank Green just wrote a book He wrote a fiction book that's supposed to be some commentary about our current world, in terms of how much the internet and social media has been intertwined within our lives. But his argument was that social media platforms are now like countries. In the same way we go to different areas and experience the culture and interact with people, social media platforms are similar. So we go to these places, but the problem with current social media platforms are that there are very little rules. There are no rules as to what you can say, who you say it to, and then the type of information that you digest. 100 years ago, in order to get an idea to become mainstream, you would have to have a massive following or you have to talk to a lot of people. Now anybody can do that. And not on like the scale of misinformation, like that's a separate thing. There are solutions to that, right? But what about just opinions that are just in general cause a lot of argument within society? So now you have Mark Zuckerberg and whoever the heck owns all of these other social media platforms purely developing a platform that is for their monetary gain. And so now we have a country with obvious leaders where there aren't any rules. The Social Dilemma talked about this and they dramatized it a lot.
I hated that.
That was upsetting because I think it's an important message.
Yeah.
Like our data is very important. We like to think of ourselves as like all individuals, but if you know everything we do, you know us. And so if they can just use our own data and our information as tools to make them more money, they will. Side note, but I think the federal government should really step in into how much power these social media platforms have. Because our generation is defined by social media. And imagine, worst case scenario, another country hacked any of these social media platforms.
They would be done for.
They don't even have to do anything drastic. They could just drop little seeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a platform to spread any idea.
And also, who's to say that it isn't already happening? That, like, we aren't already having our data stolen? Outside of, like, other nations influencing us to, like, go into chaos or panic, even within, just within the whole capitalist society that is not just us, but everyone, companies steal our data. I don't think Facebook is really confined to the U.S. Facebook is a global thing. And so it's like global leaders that have all of the influence in the world. And they're not politicians, but they can be guided by them with the power of money. So I don't think a country would have to hack anything. I think a country could put up enough money to do that very thing. And that would be enough. For example,
2016 election.
Yep.
Is that what you're going for? Yeah.
Like, I think it's already happening, and I think it will continue to happen. I don't know how to limit something that provides such an ease of accessibility. It's so hard and so, like, not progressive to say, let's try to confine this. And that's where I think we've had trouble putting controls on it. Especially the U.S., they don't want to look like a communist country. They don't want to control what information comes in and out of its users. But also, the result of that, unfortunately, is massive misinformation. Like, and misinformation, but also us being manipulated to do the things that we're not even thinking about doing, which is really scary. Like, it's really scary that it's not some brain chip that half the conservatives thinks is going to be in a vaccine. That's not what's going to do us in. You don't need a brain chip to manipulate someone to think what you want them to think. Just your phone.
Yeah.
Just your phone.
Terrifying.
And I feel like the Social Dilemma made me more aware of it. Like, when I get pings from Instagram now that are just, one of your contacts is on Instagram now. I know that I don't know that person, and I know that that ping is just there because I haven't picked up and used that app in a while. Which is already so terrifying to me. The fact that an app monitors the amount of time that I am on it and will send me alerts, not because I need them, but because it can control what I'm looking at, is so scary. And that helps. Like, being aware of it, I think, helps. And I think that's a great way to make sure that we are not being as manipulated by it as we could have been. But not everyone is aware of it. And my grandma, who goes on Facebook every day, she's not listening to any podcast. She's not informing herself. She's on Facebook, and she lives in Morocco. So now we think about what other countries' perceptions of us are. Not good, I would like to say. Not good at all. And we're not going to, like, this is just, like I said, it's surpassed the U.S. This is something that we can podcast and we can inform as much as we want within the country, but this is a global thing now, and we can't control how other people are planning on using their social medias.
Ouchie.
Scary. What was the question that, oh, it was, what song are you listening to right now?
As you were talking, I was trying to recall how we got here.
I think it was the SpongeBob song that really did us in.
Oh, yeah.
That
oh,
got you
TikTok?
Into TikTok and then we were through.
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about social media for a while now. It's too easy. Nothing in this world should be that easy.
I know.
Yeah, it's those dopamine hits. Just like, damn, I really need to feel occupied.
Yep.
It's not even feel good anymore.
No.
Like, I don't think people who regularly use, and I include myself, like regularly use my phone, it doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel occupied.
Yes.
And I try to delete social media, but being off of social media for a month doesn't cure me of that instant dopamine need. When I download it, that day I know I'll be on it for 2 hours. Because they give you such a wide array of things to look at. Like, you don't get bored.
I don't run out.
Yeah.
That's why TikTok's so bad also.
Yeah.
This is something that my roommate was talking about. But the fact that you have not only something that, like, isn't scroll downable or whatever, you never run out.
Yeah.
You never run out of videos. Instagram, like your Explore feed, you start to see the same things pop over and over again. Twitter, you run out. Like, you get to a point and you're out. You can look at what's trending, but it's really not that interesting. TikTok provides you with a customized For You page that literally, literally never ends. You can be on there, and I have been on there, for 4 hours and not run out of things. And they all seem pretty tailored to you. They all bring you some sort of little hit of like, oh, yeah, relatable. I'm gonna send that to my mom. And like, that is so scary. That's a book that never ends, a TV show that never finishes. And I think that they fixed their algorithm, because I will say that for a period of time when I was using TikTok, I was getting repeats. But now I never get repeats. How are people making so many videos that I can sit there for hours on end? Sometimes my winter break last year started and finished with TikTok. That's so sad also, and like a separate issue. But how did someone make 2 weeks worth of videos for me to occupy myself?
Yeah, it's scary. For You pages, also have a problem with For You pages, because somebody's determining what is for me and what I need. Weird. Social media has all the higher ups of social media, people who write these algorithms to recommend things, have all decided that this is the information that Cohen Flores needs in his life. And it's not to make him a better person.
Mm-mm.
It's to make him a better consumer. That is horrifying.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And I was talking to my friend about this earlier. Imagine, like I already said this about the library, but imagine going to the library, librarian holding you by the hand saying, sorry, you can't read this section. You can't go here. You can only read these two shelves only. Oh, you want to see what's over there? Tell me what book you want to look at. Because you have to find that information. There's no scouring anymore where it's like, let me read American history. Let me read about geology. Like that, you don't have that anymore. You have what's tailored for you. And I just don't think it's right for people that I don't know for these algorithms to be determining that.
Yeah.
Like, we need to have the social aspect back into social media. It is entirely media.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about having something customized to you. I don't think that necessarily has to be a bad thing. Honestly, if there wasn't consumerism in it, I would be fine. If I didn't see ads, I think I would be okay. If I was on Instagram and I wouldn't see an ad, I'd be fine. That's impossible, because companies have to do something to make money, and ads are the way that they do it. And honestly, at least that's more blatant than some of the other ways that they convince us to buy things, which is a lot scarier.
Yeah, wait, can I make a comment on that?
Yeah.
The ads now are almost indistinguishable from actual posts. That is so weird.
Yep.
They're all like whatever aspect ratio your camera is when you're filming vertical. Same thing that ads are in. A bunch of like teens are showing off like this cool frisbee. Like I'm looking at a Snapchat from a friend. I don't know who this guy is, but it looks exactly like a post.
Have you seen those ads on Instagram that are like a picture? So it's like a picture of just gummy bears or something fun. And then in the thing are tagged links to go to a shop.
Yeah.
Like that's, what? It's like pictures of fun things that you would look at. Not even clothes. You could not be in the mindset to be looking for anything and happen upon something because you wanted to see some cute 90s photos of girls. And now you're looking at a way to look just like that cute 90s photo of that girl. It's really scary. I'm a little scared. Should we move on?
Should we take down TikTok? Yeah, we should move on.
I think we should take down TikTok. Ooh, I have a lot of questions, and I have to figure out which one I want to ask.
Yeah, we went on quite the tangent.
Okay, can I ask a fun question? I
love fun questions.
Okay. Okay, so if you got a dog.
Yeah.
What kind would it be, and why does the breed you chose kind of look a little bit like you?
Are you implying that I look like a dog? Let me show you a picture. It's the Target dog. I love the Target dog. Look at him. He's so cute.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people think he's ugly, but
he's so cute.
He has the triangle face and the triangle eyes. His face just looks kind of swollen.
He looks so earnest. Yeah.
And he kind of looks like me because it looks like he has food in his mouth. Look at that.
So I was right.
Look at that guy. It's a Target dog.
Yeah, just for your viewing pleasure, look up the Target dog.
Bull Terrier.
Bull Terrier. That's what Cohen wants.
Yeah.
And it looks like him because his mouth is full. That's so cute. I just think that at least the dog that people want shares some characteristics of that person. Even if it doesn't look just like him, they share characteristics with that person.
Interesting.
Like my mom really wanted a Yorkie. Because Yorkies are princesses and they like really like nice things and are very well kept and well groomed. So is my mom.
Well groomed?
Well groomed. Look at that cute guy. Look at those big eyes. For example, I want an Australian Shepherd. You know what characteristic I share with an Australian Shepherd?
What?
An asshole. They are so mean. But you know what else they are? Really smart. And I think that I'm really smart and pretty mean. And therefore, I am an Australian Shepherd.
At least you're self-aware.
Oh, super. So much so that it makes me sad sometimes.
That's so sad.
Well, I love them. They're super cute. I saw one at the dog park yesterday. That little asshole was starting a fight with every single dog that was there. And he's like, not even a width, like a shoulder width size big. And he's coming after like bulldogs and like kneeling them in the balls and like trying to get them to do stuff. He got like five of them cornered into a fence and just started screaming. And that's me. I like to pick fights. But then when I'm cornered, I just want to tell. I just start screaming so someone can help me. So I was like, ah! So, I'm glad that we both have dogs that share the characteristics that we would have.
Okay. So my final question to you is, if you had a child and you could only impart one lesson, what would that lesson be?
Okay. It would be that you can be compassionate without letting yourself get taken advantage of. I think that we raise kids either in two ways, and maybe this has to do with the gender thing, and but regardless, I think that this moral stands strong because we raise boys to be strong and assertive, and women to be nose to the ground, as kind as possible, not expecting much from the world, basically. And so I think that what we don't give our boys is kindness and empathy because they feel like that indicates weakness. And what we don't give our girls is the notion that strength does not equal you being a bitch. So regardless of what gender child I had or what gender that they believe they were, I think that still stands. I have struggled with that And I think that a lot of both women and men have struggled with that. I think a lot of men want to feel emotions. I don't think that they like being put in the box of having to constantly be strong and not being able to cry and not being able to show warmth to the people around them. And I think a lot of women have had the problem of being in the workplace and feeling as if they cannot speak up for themselves. Or honestly, there are small things sometimes that I notice about myself every day that I do that is a result of me desperately wanting to be liked over wanting to be taken seriously. I say thank you way more times than a normal human should ever say thank you. I say sorry when I trip. I've said sorry in front of you to the ground underneath me because I tripped over it. And I think that there's a way to be both. And it has to do with having conviction in who you are. And we don't give that to women when we raise them. We don't say, hey, you need to be so nice. You should be so nice. But also you should believe in your emotions when you don't feel like being nice. Like, it is okay for you to feel angry, and it is okay for you to dictate that anger while being respectful. You are not taking away from the way that you look in the eyes of other people if you communicate that something has made you upset. I would leave him with that.
That's a really good segue into the next topic. Episode 2.
Can you say your name? Because you say it so beautifully, and I don't know how to say it.
Next week on Open Thought, we'll be reviewing and discussing We Should All Be Feminists by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Yep.
So I think that's an excellent segue into that. I don't have much to add because I agree with that completely.
Mm.
There's definitely an issue with the way that we raise children. And I want to discuss this in
more detail,
but very briefly. I think that we're making forward progress, but I think that it's not happening fast enough.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that made me think about the way I would raise my kids was reading that book. And also just the number of times that this isn't like at the fault of my mother, right? She taught me what has worked for women. Like it wasn't her trying to like teach me to be just a dish rag, as a better term. She just was teaching me what has worked for her. And so I think that we have to escape that prison of these are the set standards and rules for society that define what women are or what men are and move towards trying to raise your children, regardless of the gender, to be good people.
Yeah, no, that's well said. Why is there even a different set of rules to raising your boy or raising your girl? I think the solution is to raising a good human being.
Yeah.
Not a human being that fits into the role that that society has established. The biggest problem is that we raise girls to serve a man. That's the society we live in. So maybe it's not as patriarchal as it was years ago. But the fact that a woman has to feel like she has to accomplish less because she's going to hurt the ego of a man, that is so sad.
Yeah. I have to bite my tongue.
Yeah. Because you're going to hurt some guy's feelings.
There are so many times a day where I will say out loud, I want to respond to this, but I'm not going to acknowledge it. It's always in reference to a man, I must say. And it is because I have the response, and you can believe me or you cannot believe me. That's fine. But it's mean. And it will make you feel horrible. And it will make you probably feel 1/10 as horrible as you have just made me feel. But we bite our tongues because we cannot say that to a man. And you know what? In reverse, men do not understand the level of hurt and the impact they have with the words that they say. They don't feel like they can be empathetic or think about the way that they're affecting someone's emotions. So there is no villain here. It's just the way that society is. Like, I don't want to blame men and say that men are horrible. It's just the way that we're raising our kids.
Yeah. So that concludes our intro episode, episode 0 of Open Thought. We'll continue this conversation about feminism, masculinity, and the society we live in.
Please like and subscribe.
Please like and subscribe. go to squarespace.com. We're Potters, everybody. I hope you like this. Because
we love to do it.